Welcome back to this episode of eMoney's Knowledge Base Podcast. I'm Kate, your host, and I'm back with another integration episode featuring a fintech expert to talk about one of our many eMoney integrations. Meet Chris Quant, Success Engagement Manager at Nitrogen Wealth. My conversation with Chris has truly been one of my favorite eMoney-related conversations I've had to date, partially because Chris just has this vivacious energy when it comes to financial planning, fintech, and helping advisors make the most out of these tools and planning. I'll let the rest speak for itself. Here's my conversation with Chris Quant. Please be advised that this podcast contains purely educational information and nothing discussed may be construed as legal, tax, or financial advice. Please consult a financial advisor for any financial investment or money management questions. All views or opinions represented in this podcast are solely the opinion of the speaker and do not represent those of eMoney Advisor LLC or any of its affiliates. Thanks for joining the podcast today, Chris. Before we get started, can you begin by telling our listeners who you are and what you do at Nitrogen?
Yeah, Kate, thanks for having me. Super excited to be here. So my name is Chris Quant. I am a success engagement manager or enablement manager. Pick your poison there here at Nitrogen. And what the heck does that mean? It means I work on with our coaching team, our success team, basically training advisors how to use the platform, how to use the software, best practices. Go out, whether that's online training or in-person training or webinars or podcasts and stuff like this, basically just helping them understand a little bit better about Nitrogen, how we work, workflows, and all of that good stuff, creating a lot of digital content as well. So that's what I do in a nutshell. I've been here for I just had my 9-year, we call it Nitroversary. It used to be Riskiversary when we were Riskalyzed. So yeah, 9 years this week. So it's been a hot minute and it's been a heck of a ride, but loving every minute of it.
Wow, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Years. I wasn't looking for props, Kate, but okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
9 years, almost a decade. That's pretty wild.
I know. It's crazy. It seems like it goes by just like that after a little while.
Yeah, I've been at eMoney for, let's see, like 3.5, and that has flown. So right? I can only imagine like a decade. It's just, and you've probably had such a cool opportunity to see it evolve through the years. Yeah. And over the last decade, I imagine Nitrogen has shifted quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, starting from when it was Riskalyze when I joined, so folks might be wondering, Nitrogen, who is that? What is that? Well, if you've heard of Riskalyze, that's who we were. We did a rebrand about 2-ish years ago. Same company, same heart, all that, just a little bit of a different name during the rebrand, but it's been a rocket ship is how we like to describe it. It's been a heck of a ride. Grateful for every minute of it.
That's awesome. No, I love that. Okay, so for our listeners who maybe they are familiar with what Riskalyze was and what Nitrogen is, but then we also have listeners who I'm sure maybe have not used Nitrogen yet. Can you tell us a little bit about what Nitrogen Wealth is and just what it allows them to do for their clients before we kind of get into the nitty gritty of the integration with eMoney?
Yeah, for sure. So like we were saying, it started as Riskalyze, founded as Riskalyze, and really all centered around the risk number. So basically taking a quantitative way or a quantitative approach to risk. And we like to say, you know, it's where advisors are starting the conversation with risk, which might seem kind of weird because we're like, oh, well, look at the returns that we're getting. And oh, isn't this great? And this is how we're maximizing your portfolio, which is really great and really fine. And there's nothing wrong with that. But also understanding and helping clients understand, it's really about client education and helping them understand there's two sides to that coin. And we like to say, you know, there are terms in our industry that we hear a lot, like conservative and moderate and aggressive. And those are really good starting points, but those are very subjective terms, right? Like Kate, like you might say, well, I'm moderately conservative. Well, what does that mean? Well, that might mean something different to you than it does to me, than it does to the next person that comes into the room. So where we all started it around the risk number, basically making this more quantitative and saying, all right, well, Kate, you actually as a human, as an individual, as your preference, as your experiences happen, you have your own personal risk number, like you have your own individual fingerprint. So let's start there. So maybe you are conservative, or maybe you're a little bit earlier on in your investing career. So we would say, oh, you're aggressive. Well, not necessarily. We had some studies done that, you know, said that folks that are younger aren't necessarily aggressive. I worked with one of my coworkers, worked back in the day. He was in his 30s. And he said, I took our risk assessment, our risk questionnaire, and I came out as a 35, right? So we would say from a range of 1 to 99, 1 being like we're invested in cash. You know, we got it buried under the mattress or buried in the mattress in the backyard or something like that. And 99 being like, hey, we're putting all of our hopes and dreams in Bitcoin or something that has a lot of volatility to it. It really helps the advisor understand who they're talking to, the individual that they're talking to. And then we can move from there using that number, that risk number as a through line to say, okay, now we've got your personal risk number. We went through this risk assessment, this risk questionnaire, if you will, got your individual risk number. Now, Kate, I'm going to take a little rabbit trail here.
Okay.
My wife and I, it's really great. It's really great, especially if you're dealing with households, if you're talking to spouses or whatnot. So my wife and I took the questionnaire. We did it separately. So advisors ask sometimes, should I have a couple take it together? Should I have them take it separate? And I say, kind of say dealer's choice. Like it's always kind of good to find out who they are as a person. And then maybe if you want to have them take it together as a couple. But I took it and I came out as a 74. Now, to give you some context, I've been here, 9 years? The S&P 500 in nitrogen has been between like a 74 and a 78, so kind of close to the S&P 500. My wife, now, Kate, I'm going to have you play a little game here. Try and guess what my wife's risk number is. And again, the range goes from 1 to 99, so 99 kind of being on that really, you know, aggressive side, 1 being on the more conservative side, if you will. Here's your clue. She got us a couple Christmases ago. She got us a couple's skydiving trip. And to make it even more fun, she got it off of Groupon. And so, you know, I'm going to be. Yeah. So let's really go for that. So I'm going to strap myself to somebody I don't know and throw myself out of a perfectly good plane. So any guesses on what her risk number might be?
Oh, you know, before you kind of gave me that context, I won't lie. I was thinking, okay, 74, it's kind of up there. Like maybe she's more conservative in her risk number. But with the context that you're giving me, actually thinking she's going to be closer to that 99.
Yeah, boy, you're right. Yeah, she came in as like a 93, I believe. So,
wow.
Right. And but it makes for a really great conversation because we have our advisors ask, well, how should I approach this? How should I have them fill out the questionnaire? I say, really don't overthink it. Like as you're going through their questionnaire, we're using real dollar amounts to go through that. And it's a series of A, B questions as you're going through it. So don't overthink it. Want to get your gut reaction, but it's a really great conversation starter, right? Because we're probably not going to invest our portfolio at a 93 and it may or may not make sense to be around a 70 or a 70-ish somewhere around there, but it really helps us understand each other and then what we need to do to go there to meet our goal. So when my wife's like, sell, go, put, you know, do the, and I'm like, I don't know. Well, there's a reason for that because we've quantified what our risk tolerance is and what we're willing to handle and what we're willing to not. So it's a really great tool to kind of help advisors, one, do that client education of like, okay, here's who you are. Here's what you say you are. And then let's bring in your portfolio now. Let's bring in, look at all of those underlying holdings in your portfolio and let's put a number to that portfolio. So you say, okay, you're a risk number, Chris, you're a risk number 74. I put your portfolio in here into nitrogen, looking at all the underlying holdings here, that rolled up to a risk number of an 88. So Chris, it looks like you're actually invested. You're going a little bit faster. We kind of compare that number. It looks like a speed limit sign. That risk number looks like a speed limit sign to say, okay, your portfolio is going about 88 miles an hour. Chris, you said you're comfortable, maybe maxing out around 74. So it looks like we've got some sort of discrepancy here, or at least something's a little bit off. What can we do to help you understand that and maybe get you more in line with what you say you're comfortable with? So when the market does hit volatility, when things go up and go down, you're not calling me freaking out saying, my portfolio just lost $75,000. What the heck, man? We understand where those ranges and those tolerances are so we can make smart decisions and stay, because really the goal is to stay invested in the long term. So I like to say baby steps, right? Like Bill Murray from a movie called What About Bob? You know, we're helping them make these baby steps with these great short-term decisions in order to stay invested for the long term. Kate, that was a lot. Hopefully that answered your question, but we can move from there. But hopefully that gives you an idea a little bit about what we do.
It definitely does. No, I think that's a great, first of all, that's a great example because I think it really puts it into a real world example. So many of the advisors listening have clients just like you and your wife who are taking that questionnaire and they need to understand where these numbers are coming from and also the differences between, you know, the two people in the couple and where they can kind of come together and make their differences meet and yeah. also just the differences between individual clients because every client's going to have a different risk tolerance level and it'll be interesting. We'll talk a little bit more about this later, but it'll also be interesting to have an idea of like, how does the risk tolerance differ from the risk capacity? Because I think that that's a huge component as well. So I'm excited to talk a little bit more about that. I kind of want to know, so this whole thing with this number makes it really personal for advisors. Like they get to really bring that personalization element into planning because this number is personal for their client. So once that integration is linked, once they have that data in eMoney, their clients have gone through the questionnaire, how is that something that they can continue to leverage with the integration to bring that personalization element into the planning process for their clients?
Yeah, that's a great question. So kind of ongoing, continuing to leverage that as accounts. One of the great things about the eMoney and the Nitrogen connection is I like to say sometimes integrations between platforms, it's a one-way street where the information is just coming, for instance, coming, being fed into Nitrogen. So we're getting that information there. But the kind of the beauty with eMoney is it's a two-way street. It's a two-way integration. So yes, we're bringing money in or data in from eMoney, but then we're also sending information back out to eMoney. So having that handshake go back and forth between the two. So the ongoing is, hey, it's basically being able to, one, send that information over to Nitrogen. So we have those portfolios. So the beauty of having an integration one is that it's saving you a lot of time. So you're not having to hand enter all of those underlying holdings in the portfolio and taking a look there. So you're quickly getting a risk number inside of Nitrogen. You're seeing all the underlying holdings, not only the number for the portfolio, that risk number for that portfolio, but the risk number for all of those underlying holdings inside of the portfolio and that risk number from taking that questionnaire. So finding out your client's risk tolerance, but then we're feeding that back into eMoney. So on the overview there, you can see, okay, what is their personal risk number? What did they tell me they're comfortable with? Okay, they said that they're, I'll use myself as an example, 74. All right, how is our portfolio right now looking in relation to that? Are we close? Are there any changes that have happened where maybe we need to come back and do this again? Best practice, a lot of advisors that I talk to over the years say, yeah, I'd like to update that personal risk number, that risk tolerance about once a year, maybe once every couple of years if things are staying pretty steady with the client, but if things are shifting or maybe moving, I want to update that just to make sure that we're staying on top of that conversation. So quickly at a glance inside of eMoney, I've got those two numbers. I've got their risk tolerance number from that questionnaire, and then I'm looking at the risk number for their portfolio, how they're currently invested. And again, sending that from eMoney into Nitrogen is such a huge time saver.
That's awesome. I think it's important for advisors to understand monitoring that number, how that will look, and then also being able to compare it to the other number, like you said. And I'm sure that this differs from client to client because different clients will probably need a different level of maybe maintenance or care than others. So is this something that they can also use for prospects? And if so, like how does that differ for an advisor to be using this integration for, let's say, a prospect versus a client that's established, someone who they're meeting with yearly, quarterly, semi-annually?
Yeah. So from an integration standpoint, from a prospect, probably it depends on where the data originates, right? Okay. So if it's originating in eMoney, well, then you're going to want to push it over to Nitrogen. So you can kind of have that discussion of like, all right, well, if it's a prospect, do I want to get your personal risk number, your risk tolerance? So from an integration perspective, probably what you're going to do when you're pushing that information over to Nitrogen is you're going to create a new client, right? So you're going to have an option to, hey, do I want to create a new new client in Nitrogen, or do I want to link this information to an existing client? So maybe if it's an existing client, you already have them in Nitrogen, you just want to kind of tag that profile there into an existing client, you would do that. If you have a prospect and you're starting in eMoney and you want to put that over and flow that over into Nitrogen, you can. One of the things I like to say about eMoney and the integration there is that you're probably capturing a lot of those held away accounts as well, kind of depending on how you're talking to the person, how you're getting their information. You have a lot of that holistic view that you've got inside of eMoney that now when you push that into Nitrogen, it's all there. So we're looking at the account level and seeing how all of those accounts roll up into an overall portfolio risk number. And then that number feeding back into eMoney is really valuable. So I would say from a prospecting perspective, again, where the information originates, it gives you that extra layer to have those conversations with them, to help them see the value that you can provide with that risk number, with that risk tolerance, using that speed limit number if you want, and maybe differentiate yourself from people around you that, yes, we're talking about gains and yes, we're talking about returns, but I also want you to see both sides of the coin. And it's pretty quick here to get your information going through that risk assessment, that questionnaire, maybe about 5 minutes and we can get that. And you can launch that from eMoney as well to have them start going through that process and having that portfolio risk number. Oftentimes we have advisors so many times tell us that just the number, I'll give you an example, Kate. We had an advisor that a woman, she was recently widowed and the husband had been managing money, the finances, their entire married life. And they were with a pretty large financial institution. And when she was in charge of it, she just wasn't there was just something off. She just didn't feel right. And so she got referred to one of our advisors that used Nitrogen. And he said, all right, well, my process is that I take you through this risk assessment. And what I want to find out is your personal comfort of risk, because your husband had his number and you have your number. And then I want you to see how your portfolio is invested right now. We're going to get a number for that. And let's just take a look at those two numbers. And so she went through that questionnaire and she went through, and then he got the portfolio, brought that in. And just the number between what she said she was comfortable with, her personal risk number, and how she was invested, oftentimes our advisors will call that the ACAT for a moment. Just having just those two numbers helps folks see, oh my gosh, there's more often than not, there's a difference there. And I'm not sure why that is. And we can dive deeper and figure out why that is. So having that with prospects, having those two numbers, and like we said, leading to that ACAT form moment, I've heard that story time and again.
Wow, that's amazing. I think that that's great that it can capture that data for them and give her, it probably helped her level of comfort so much going through that process to be able to have a better understanding of what's going on. And like you said before, like giving you that kind of well-rounded picture of things as well,
which is so huge. For sure. Yeah.
What is one thing that you find as you go through and you see all these advisors using Nitrogen and using this integration, what is something that you find that they're missing that they could leave today's podcast knowing going forward?
You know, as far as missing, I think it's pretty straightforward as far as, hey, what you're doing is you're connecting in, you're getting that risk number for the questionnaire, and you're also getting that information sent over to sent from eMoney into Nitrogen. One thing I will say is that many times we get asked, well, hey, does that integration happen automatically? Is it just every night it syncs over to eMoney into Nitrogen? Does it happen once a week? Like, how often is the data synced? And what that happens, that kind of a cool thing, in my opinion, as you're working in eMoney, like, hey, something new has changed, something has happened here, you can just basically sync that, choose when to push that integration information from eMoney into Nitrogen. So it's not an automatic sync. So I always like to give people a heads up on that in case they didn't know. It's not just happening automatically in the background. That's something that's going to be initiated from the eMoney side. You'd basically click connect within the client's eMoney profile, and you'll be given the option to send updated portfolio information from eMoney into Nitrogen so that you can see that refreshed, updated information inside of Nitrogen. So that's kind of, it's not a gotcha, but just like, hey, let's just make sure that we understand how the integration works and how that goes. And then kind of on the, and maybe Kate, we'll talk about the risk capacity side here. There's a thing in Nitrogen where I say, hey, this might be a really great starting point for you, talking about risk capacity and then bringing the conversation back into e-money.
Yes, I definitely want to talk about the risk tolerance versus risk capacity component, because I know that that's huge for advisors and clients. And yeah, I think what you said is great advice. Sometimes we kind of put the cart before the horse and are ready to dive in without having an understanding of how the integration works. So I think it's important for advisors to know, okay, let's start with the basics. Here's where to go in the application. Here's what to do. And advisors can easily turn this integration on from the integrations tab within eMoney and really get to know how this works. So I think what you said too about data syncing is really important. Understandably so, lots of advisors are really focused on that data gathering component. They want to have the best data analysis of what their clients are working with, because it really helps them throughout that planning process, especially those advisors that are focused on maybe the more comprehensive financial planning rather than just like that one kind of component of financial planning. You have advisors who, you know, specialize in something specific, but getting that full data analysis is a big focus for a lot of our advisors. So how does using this integration really enhance that data collection and analysis component for people?
Yeah. So one of the things, I think the advantage of, again, utilizing a tech stack, having both of these options in your tech stack, is being able to provide especially that more holistic look. So mentioned a little bit before, when you push that portfolio into Nitrogen, we're looking at all of the underlying holdings inside of that portfolio. So all what's all in there, we're giving all of those underlying holdings in there a risk number, rolling that up into then an aggregated risk number for the overall portfolio. So yes, we can look at a risk number from the account level. So if we're maybe talking about a bucket strategy, it's like, well, maybe it does make sense for this account that this account with all the underlying holdings rolls is a risk number 72. And this account over here, maybe it's focused a little bit more on fixed income. That's a little bit lower. Maybe we're in the 30s or the 20s or the 40s, but aggregated all together in the portfolio, maybe our portfolio lands somewhere like a 63 or 64, and that makes sense. So that gives advisors one to kind of drill down even deeper to those individual accounts, those individual underlying holdings there. And then I would say on the Nitrogen side, advisors are using things like GPA. So what is the GPA of this portfolio? And basically it's an efficiency metric. So if you think of like school, you know, Bueller, for those Ferris Bueller, Matthew Broderick's birthday today, by the way, talking about Ferris Bueller. Yeah, don't ask me how I know that. I just saw it today. So it's like 1.0, you're not showing up to class. GPA and Nitrogen goes all the way up to 4.3. So it's like 4.0 with a little bit of extra credit. Most advisors I've talked to like to see 3.7 or higher. So basically it's just saying, how much per unit of risk, how much efficiency are we getting? How efficient is this portfolio? So if quickly at a glance, I can see that maybe, and this comes back to the prospecting conversation as well, maybe a prospect went through that risk assessment, the questionnaire, and they came back as a 63. And when I enter in their current portfolio, actually your portfolio is like a 65. You're not too far off. But another metric that I have is like, okay, well, how efficient is your portfolio? So maybe your portfolio is a 65, but the GPA is like a 3.0. Well, I can come in here and I can use a proposal tool here in Nitrogen to propose a portfolio. This is actually, we've got one that's a 65 or a 63. So still in line with your risk tolerance, but actually this GPA, it's a 4.0. So we're actually building you a more efficient portfolios for about the same level of risk. We're actually getting a little bit more return, a little bit more gain on that. And that really helps advisors have more tools in their tool belt to really make that argument and make that case, whether it's with a prospect or with current clients, just making sure that we're staying on track. And then in Nitrogen, if you want to dig down, we have detailed portfolio stats. So I can look in the portfolio and I can look at Sharpe ratio and R squared and batting average and stock intersection. So you're kind of going more into the Morningstar level analytics. And we've got a brand new reports builder now where you can build out reports and deliverables and customize those with templates a lot. So again, depending on what side of the fence you're on, whether you're on eMoney or whether you're in Nitrogen, really getting into those weeds, into those stats as much as you want to, whether it's for you and maybe you have those clients that are more detail oriented and analytical and you want to show that. One of the things that Nitrogen, that we pride ourselves on, is we make this very client interfacing and visual so that we can take these, you know, concepts that, yes, the advisor is a subject matter expert, but how are we relaying this to clients and help them educate and understand these in visual ways that they can see as well, I think is a superpower of Nitrogen. Kate, I'm a little biased, I'll be honest with you, but it really is,
okay.
Yeah, it really is helping them drill down even more into those analytics and helping clients understand why they're invested, their investment strategy, and making sure that we're staying on track.
I think that's great. And one of the things we really focus on a lot at eMoney, and I've talked about it on other podcast episodes, is building a strong advisor-client relationship. And mm-hmm. it's something that I plan to cover in this episode because I just think that that's so important. This is exactly the type of thing that will help build that advisor-client relationship. The more transparency that we can bring to the clients and the better understanding that the advisor can create for the clients of how all of these components work together, the data, the risk tolerance, the overall financial outlook, that is going to help the client feel more confident in the financial trajectory of their life and in also the current state of what their finances look like. So I'm so happy that you touched on that because I feel like that is a huge component. And it's great for advisors to see, here's how you can gather that data through this integration and how ultimately that can lead to creating that better relationship for advisors and clients. So I'm so happy that you touched on that. I think that that's huge.
Well, and we're in this time period of hyper-personalization, aren't we? Where there's algorithms and it wants to feed you what you want to see. And sometimes that's good. And sometimes you get caught up in your own feedback loop. But exactly what you're saying, how can we help make this personal to the person to make them understand, no, we're not just grouping you in this bucket of people over here, but we're actually talking about who you are as a person, where you land on this spectrum, and then starting to work around that to start as a base, to then craft that strategy or to make sure that we're staying on track with that strategy so that you, like you, Mr. and Mrs. Client, are the hero. We're just like, we like to say, well, we're the guides, right? Like we are the hero guides that help the hero along their journey, right? Like the Obi-Wan to Luke or the, you know, Glenda to Dorothy, or although I heard recently that Glenda's actually, anyway, that's the whole wicked narrative that we won't go down there. But anyway, you kind of get what I'm saying, like the hero's guide that's taking them through their journey. So being able to have all those tools definitely, definitely helps.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, too, something I've noticed in other areas of life is I can go onto a website and I can take a basically like a makeup or skincare quiz. So I can go and I can say like, okay, I have blonde hair, I have blue eyes, here's my skin tone. And they can create a whole custom recommendation list based on these things that I've told them about myself. And if you can do that in every other area of your life, why can't you do it in finance? And why can't you do it with what you want your life to look like financially? And so I think it's awesome to see how we can create that for clients, because I am way more likely to buy something, to buy some type of makeup product if I know, oh, well, it's recommended for me because this is what's recommended for people who have blue eyes or something that seems kind of so silly, but it feels just so much more reliable because it's that much more personal. And I think that if we can really, and the great thing is there's not necessarily data to back up the recommendation for people with blue eyes, but there's data to back up the recommendation for someone who's answered with this type of risk tolerance. So I think that that's so cool to be able to really create that custom recommendation for your clients.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a game changer. And again, like we say, like being able to do that, showing them those numbers, leading to those ACAT form moments, and then continuing to build that trust throughout that client relationship by educating, because you'll have all range of clients. Some are like, that's why I pay you. Like you pay attention to that. I don't want to pay attention to that, but still giving them some information, some education. We stay stress tests inside of Nitrogen. Those help the phone ring less during market volatility. volatility. Many advisors have told me that just by utilizing that tool and just basically educating them how their portfolio stacks up to, against the S&P 500, against the market, just knowing that and setting those expectations from the beginning and ongoing really helps that client advisor relationship. So absolutely great point.
Yeah, especially too, you get those clients who they are constantly watching the market. They're scared. They're very reactive to what's going on in the market. And this is probably a really good way for them to kind of have an understanding of how what they're doing lines up to the market.
Can I throw out one more thing about nitrogen for folks that might be wondering about those clients that might be a little bit nervous? It's another feature. It's not part of the integration, but I want to throw it out there. It's a feature called check-ins. Ooh. And so basically it's a way to be proactive in your client relationship. Again, more along that personalization. So it's an automated thing inside of nitrogen that'll go out. You can kind of set the rhythm or the pace on it. So is it, you know, every quarter, every month, every 6 months that you want to send out these check-ins, and you can send them out manually as well. So maybe, you know, I've got, you know, Bob Smith over here who, oh man, he's got MSNBC on all the time. He's got the news feed in front of him all the time. Things are getting a little shaky in the market. I'm going to send him a check-in just to try and just see how he's feeling. It's two questions. How you feeling about the market? How you feeling about your financial future? It's a way for folks just to stay proactive with their clients, just to maybe get ahead of anything that might be nervous and get those questions surfaced ahead of time. Because again, formulating that client relationship, maintaining that trust, maintaining those ongoing points of contact can really help foster that along.
Yeah, great. That's a great tip. That's such a cool feature within Nitrogen to have. Okay, so you're in eMoney. The advisor is working in eMoney. They're creating that Nitrogen portfolio with eMoney. Of what counts within the application will then be included in the Nitrogen portfolio. What accounts are they able to select for their clients?
So they, whatever accounts they have in there, they should be able to select them. So you'll have a list of accounts. So maybe we've got our 529 plan, or we've got our health savings account, or brokerage accounts, joint brokerage accounts, accounts like that. You'll be able to see your list of accounts, select them or deselect them. Maybe I don't want that one going over there. That's not going to come into play in our Nitrogen conversation. That's fine. And then you'll go ahead and save that, and that will send that over to Nitrogen. So yeah, you've got control over what accounts you want to send and maybe what accounts you don't want to send.
Oh, awesome. Okay, great. So that also can really help give the full kind of financial picture, but also keep it personalized. If let's say there is a specific account that they don't want to have as part of that number.
Exactly. Exactly. And it can always be updated, right? So that's kind of the beauty of anytime you want to send up, update that information, you're in eMoney and then you update the portfolio and then you can resync it over into Nitrogen. So again, it stays up to date on your side, on your terms there of when you want to keep that updated into Nitrogen. So maybe a little bit later, yeah, maybe it does make sense to send that account over now so we can get a more holistic picture, because it makes sense now in our journey to start having that conversation. We can go ahead and do that. And oh, by the way, if you send it over into Nitrogen, and you're like, either I could delete the account or you could mute it inside of Nitrogen. So maybe you send everything over and then you just mute them inside of Nitrogen if you're looking at it from there, and it'll take it out of the picture. Then you can unmute it and bring it back in again.
Oh, perfect. Okay, great. So that's so nice for them to know that it's not a now or never situation.
Exactly. Exactly.
Awesome. I love that. Okay. I want to jump back to the risk tolerance versus risk capacity, which we've totally woven through our conversation. So I think that this, first of all, from a financial psychology perspective, this concept is just fascinating because there is that kind of fear component for a lot of people that we've talked about where you know, you have a certain risk tolerance level, and you even mentioned that can differ between, let's say, husband and wife. So you have that risk tolerance component, but then you also have the risk capacity. What level of risk is maybe appropriate to take here versus not, or what would be recommended to take here? So is the advisor able to easily compare that client's risk tolerance versus risk capacity component?
Yeah, that's a great question. Almost like a leading question, Kate, because I'm leading me right into it. But no, it's a fantastic question. And it actually really begs the question, okay, so let's say that I have a client or a prospect that goes through that risk assessment, that risk questionnaire, and they come back very risk averse. So we'll just use this as an example. So you know, they come back as a risk number 29. Again, the risk number ranges from 1 to 99, 1 being cash, 99 being like, let's put all our you know, chips into whatever high tech stock or whatever that's highly volatile. But saying, okay, listen, you came back as a risk number 29 on your personal questionnaire. Okay, what does it look like for your portfolio right now? How are you invested right now? How much have you saved? How much are you saving towards retirement? If you're already retired, are we on track to meet those goals? So we have a feature in Nitrogen called Retirement Maps. So basically, that's taking a look at that risk capacity. So if I have somebody that comes in as a risk 29, even if I don't have a portfolio for them right now, I can enter in some basic numbers like, hey, how much do you have saved for retirement? How much are you saving a month? When are you looking to retire? What year? How much do we think we're going to need in today's dollars for when you hit retirement? And then we can say, and also we can adjust for the inflation rate and annual savings increase. And we can also kind of back into a risk number there to see what makes sense, because maybe you tell me you're a 29, but you've saved $50,000. You want to retire 5 years from now and you need about 10 grand a month. Well, the math just isn't going to math that way. And I could have Retirement Maps show you that. It's a high level. So we're not going into a whole lot of deeper weeds of the financial planning, but boy, is it a great way to visually show, am I on track? Am I not on track? What will my risk capacity hold? On the other side of the spectrum, clients might be taking on more risk than they need to. Actually, you know what? If we throw your portfolio here into Retirement Maps, actually our probability of just knocking it out of the park is actually pretty darn good. So we could consider maybe backing some of the risk down on some of this portfolio and not going as fast. Now, again, the client's going to be in control, and just to so that they understand what's all going on there. But it's a really great, at a high level, way for folks to see their risk capacity. And does it make sense? Is it going to keep us on our goals? Or do we make adjustments? I had an advisor tell me, he said, you know, when it comes in using that first example, you know, folks are saying like, okay, you're telling me that you want to fly from the East Coast to the West Coast and you want to do it in a day, but you don't want to get on a plane because you think it's too risky. Okay, well, we're probably going to need to reset some expectations there, right? Because that's not, unless you know about some technology I don't know about, that's probably not going to happen. So we readjust our time frame and just say, actually, we're going to plan to get there later. And we're going to go buy a different vehicle, right? Or if that's what you really want to do, you're going to have to up your level a little bit and, you know, put on your big person pants and get on a plane and get it if that's what you want to do. So it really kind of helps them visually do that. And then we just introduced another layer on that retirement map, which is called income by source. So now it helps advisors see like the retirement map, and it's a form that it's been since the beginning, is really looking at the accumulation phase. And now income by source helps us look at the decumulation phase. So how are we going to spend those accounts down in retirement? So we'll draw from the taxable first and then the non-taxable after that. And it'll help us see how our fixed income is staying the same throughout the course of our retirement and into our retirement years, and how much we would expect to have left over by the end of our lives. And will we have a legacy to pass on? So again, not a full financial planning tool. I like to put that little disclaimer on there, but boy, is it a really great way to look at that risk capacity. And then a lot of folks then use that as a springboard into those more detailed financial planning conversations. Because whether you're dealing with a prospect or, you know, maybe you've got somebody who's earlier on in their investing career, let's talk about this transfer of wealth that everybody's talking about. So maybe you're wanting to initiate conversations with your clients' kids and grandkids. Boy, just starting with a simple retirement map there and starting to have those conversations, making yourself available with a pretty low lift in there, I think is very, very valuable. And really, it's visual and helps them see that. And then again, with that income by source, seeing how we're going to spend it down in our retirement years is really valuable as well.
Wow. Okay. That encompassed so much, but I feel like that's so helpful for people to have an understanding of, because I mean, I'm sure you have seen such a variety of, like, you could have someone's risk tolerance being, you know, very low. What is the lowest number, out of total curiosity, that you have ever seen?
I've never seen like a one. Like, it's okay. It's never that far. I would say the lowest that I've seen, I mean, like a 13, a 12.
Wow. Like, okay, so, that I is mean, that's low.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be saying like, I don't want to do anything. Like, I'm going to go like, I'm just going to go sit in the basement and basically try and not move. And
right. Like that money's just going to sit in checking and hang out. Like,
but the thing is, right. Okay. Your money's not going anywhere, but it's also not going anywhere, right? It's not working for you. So how do we help them understand that and make it visual? And again, that personalization, that education to help them understand these concepts, and then they can make the decisions from there and the choices from there.
It's really cool because it sounds like what you've just described is where the personalization component and the data analysis component kind of meet in the middle.
Yeah.
And that's so important because there has to be a happy medium that can be achievable for clients. Exactly.
Well, it's two sides of a coin, right? Like, yes, there's gains, but there's also the losses on the other side, and you need to understand how they work together on both sides. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's something that I recently, I think I was reading in some book that talks about clients being willing to take, they're more willing to lose than they are willing to risk or something. There's some type of, do you know what I'm referring to?
Yeah, there's a, well, if you go on YouTube, there's Veritasium, the channel Veritasium. It's the video, I think it's called Will You Take This Bet?
Okay.
And it's basically, this is based off the Nobel Prize winning theory, prospect theory. Daniel Kahneman did a lot of behavioral finance thing, which is a lot of what nitrogen is based on, that we're 2.5 times more likely to react to risk than we are to reward. And we would go ahead and say that those, you know, long-term knee-jerk reactions, if we make that knee-jerk reaction, oh my gosh, the market's volatile, so I'm going to dip, I'm going to get out. So then we get out at the bottom, we miss that recovery because we're scared, and then we buy back in when the market is up again. So you're losing money, and then you're buying back when everything's back up there. Rinse, lather, repeat that a few times until you're broke. And so, yeah, it's based off of prospect theory.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. It's just fascinating to know the financial psychology. There's that saying, no risk, no reward. And there's really some truth to that.
Right?
It's good to keep in mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Switching gears just slightly. So security is always a top concern for our advisors, and especially between fintech companies. I'm sure Nitrogen has its own security around your fintech company, just like eMoney does. So what can you tell advisors about the security involved with the data that's flowing between Nitrogen and eMoney integration?
Yeah. So just like any tech company, any company that's regulated along those lines, if you go to, and it'll get into all the legalese, if you want some, you know, fun Saturday morning reading, and you go to nitrogenwealth.com, if you scroll down to the bottom there where the little mini menus are at the bottom there, under legal, you'll see a security and trust link there. And that'll open up and that'll show you basically everything that we do, you know, with all these, you know, different agreements that we have with enterprises and whatnot. I mean, the whole SOC 2 compliance, the documentation, all of that is there. So it is locked down, guaranteed. So we go through all of those endpoint securities, network securities, all the infrastructure. We use AWS as our servers. Is interestingly enough, I was just talking this week to our VP, one of our engineering VPs, that he does this. Like, this is, and one of the things he's done since the beginning is all the security and everything that goes on with our servers and where our backup servers are. And I'm like, can I ask where our backup servers are? He's like, yes, you can. But they do all that. And we ask, like, how often, like, does this get attacked or do we get attacked? And he's like, you know, there's the noise out there that it just kind of, there's always things pinging that, but all the security system. And he said a lot of words that are technical that I'm like, yeah, I'm sure that means something to somebody. But yeah, basically all of the security is there. And again, if they want to go to our website and look under there at the bottom, nitrogenwealth.com, and look under security and trust, we'll list it all out there for you in detail.
Perfect. I'm happy that they can rest assured that all of their data is secure, and great to kind of direct them to a place to find that. So thank you. Before we close out, a few more things. So we talked a lot about everything that this integration can provide advisors with, and touched on the advisor-client relationship, which to me is just the overall theme of everything that we do here at eMoney, is how can we create an experience for advisors that is secure, efficient, but also just interactive for clients. We want to make sure that, you know, they're getting everything that they need to get done, but that there's value in it. And part of that value is creating these long-term relationships between the advisor and the client. So is there anything else that you would say that you want to leave advisors with today, with how this integration can really build to that stronger relationship for their advisors and clients?
Well, one, I would say, if you're not using the integration, make your life easier, one, and get everything integrated so that it's working, you're having your technology work for you and you're not working against it. So it's making your life a little bit easier. But I would say, Kate, and when I think you would agree probably too, is when we're being more efficient with our technology, that's saving us time. And isn't time, it's like one of the most valuable things. Like you can't get it back. So if I'm saving myself some time, I'm creating that personalized experience that gives me more time with my clients. Because yes, we can talk about risk and reward, and that's good. And we need to talk about your portfolio, but then you're also building that relationship, right? We all have stories of the advisors that say, yeah, like we had something and our clients came and stepped in for us and offered this, and we go out to dinner and we take vacations together, right? Like it's not everybody that does that, but it does give you that time that now you can spend with clients. Hey, how's the family doing? How are your kids doing? You can have those second and third tier conversations that maybe it's not just all surfacey when they walk through into your door and like, all right, well, let's check that off the list. Oh, hey, how are you? How are you doing? What's new with your family? Oh, you've got a grandkid. Oh my gosh, that's so great. Let's, you know, tell me about them. I'd love to see some pictures, right? And from a genuine, sincere position, right? Not that you're trying to sell something or you're just trying to fake it. No, you are in this business because you are with these people. You are helping them. You are being their guide. And so using that, having that, helping them understand one and have those aha moments. And then, yeah, just give yourself some time to hang out with folks and find out more about them.
Exactly. That building the relationship component starts with understanding your clients. And the more you understand your clients, the more you're going to be able to understand that risk tolerance number and where they're coming from and where that stems from, because everyone has a different financial background. It doesn't matter the number that you have in your account. The number that you have in your account could look identical to somebody else's in terms of financial, not risk tolerance. That number could look identical, but the financial mindset of how things look behind the scenes could be totally different. And so until you get the time to sit with the client and really understand that, exactly what you said, having that time component is going to be huge in building that relationship. So I agree.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you would find out, like, I'll use my wife and my example again. And yes, I will pay off the parachuting thing, by the way, here. stay tuned for that. But right. Like you'll understand with my wife, like, yes, her number's up there, but like money and all of that is constantly on her mind, like entrepreneurial spirit. Like that is something that she is always thinking about. Like it's always there. And for me, I'm like, yeah, it's there. I understand it. I get it. I get that we have to do it, but it's not ever present like it is for her. Mm-hmm. And so to have that and to open up those conversations, whether it's through the risk number, whether it's through taking a look at their portfolio, maybe it's going deeper dive into that risk capacity. Exactly. You're giving, we just like to say, we like to be there to assist to, and I'm sure with you guys, like we are wanting to give you the tools to then engage and to foster and nurture those relationships.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yes. I'm so curious. Did you end up doing the skydiving?
No, Kate. No, I didn't. No, there's no way I was doing that. No, that never happened. Actually, when we finally got around to doing it, I think the company went out of business, and I was like, "Thank God!"
Gosh. Okay,
thank God.
That's not a good sign, though.
I know. You're absolutely right. So I was like, dodge that bullet.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Yeah, listen, I've heard some questionable things about Groupon, I'm not going to lie.
Oh my gosh, when I heard that, I was like, okay, all right. I don't know if this is a test of our love or what, but I'll jump off the ends of the earth for you, but okay, here we go.
That would be maybe literal. I mean...
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, Chris, thank you so much. I want to leave advisors with a best pro tip. So if you have one best practice or pro tip that you can leave our advisors with today when it comes to utilizing this integration, what would that be?
Yeah, pro tip is, I'll come back to it again. If you're not using it, use it. Get it ready to go. Get it set up. We've got on our knowledge base, you can go to kb.nitrogenwealth.com. I'm sure on the e-money side, you've got it there too. If you've not connected it up, there's not a lot to it. You'll do it on the e-money side. So in e-money, you will connect up that integration. And then like we said, finding that risk number, finding the risk number of their personal risk number and of their portfolio and making sure that that's updated, that you're tracking that, that you can see any changes in that. It's really going to help your clients. I really think they're going to appreciate it if you're not using it already.
Love it. That's perfect. Thank you so much. Yeah, on the e-money side, once you're in the application, you can go to your help menu. You can access all of the Nitrogen e-money information there. We also have a really helpful guide on integrations working together. That's a great one. So check that out. But Chris, this was so much fun. Thank you for joining the podcast. I had a great time talking with you today. And I just know our advisors are going to leave knowing so much about e-money and Nitrogen and how to use this integration. So thank you.
Oh, I had a blast, Kate. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Knowledge Base Podcast. Chris had so much to share on Nitrogen and how you can use the Nitrogen integration in planning for your clients. As a reminder, you can access tons of help materials related to our conversation today in the help menu in your e-money application. And if you're looking for other integration episodes just like this, head to our help menu for them as well. And for any podcast-related questions, comments, or topics you'd love for us to cover, send us a message at knowledgebasedcontent@emoneyadvisor.com. We'll catch you on another episode soon.